If you're ever around our house in the mornings, especially at breakfast time when toast is being made, the smell of the toast, the sound of the toaster popping up, brings my dog Gracie to the table side. She knows the smell of toast. She loves toast. And one morning as I was sitting there eating an English muffin, she came and she sat by the table. And as she sat watching me eating, and her eyes were big, and you could just see in her eyes the desire to have some of that. And you could see her as she turned her head one way and then the other, how she desired that I would give her just a little bit of what I was enjoying. And I wondered to myself if that's how God feels when it comes time to us giving. If the Lord God looks down from heaven and sees us and with those kind of eyes just wishes we would give just a little bit to Him. This morning we begin a time of several weeks talking about giving and tithing. This is usually the time when the church empties out, when preachers start preaching about money. Sadly, because too many of them in the past have told the people what they are supposed to give. When we start reading the Bible and truly understand tithing and giving back to the Lord, there's no talk whatsoever of how much we should give. But sadly, what has happened in our culture today, we have become so financially minded, and sadly, we consider people, human beings, church members, as giving units. And when we have a mindset like that, there's only one thing that's going to happen to our church. And sadly, in 2014, it has happened to the Church of Jesus Christ, especially in the United States. So I want to talk about giving and tithing. I want to start today in the Old Testament. Where did it all come from? Where did this mindset, the idea, come from? And, you know, how are we supposed to give? What are we supposed to give? When we think about giving, right away it comes to mind tithing. That's the common mindset in churches today, is to tithe. And I want to talk about tithing, not in the sense of the practice, but in the sense of the principle of tithing. And the purpose of all this is to better understand the practice of proper giving in light of what God says in the Bible, not in light of what our denomination or the larger church says. We're going to go right back to the Bible and hopefully walk away from our time in the next few weeks understanding more clearly what it means to give to God properly. When we talk about giving, when to give, what to give, how much to give, our understanding of giving cannot be rooted in the history of mankind. We have so many traditions in our churches, in our denominations, in the mainline church, in our culture, so many traditions that have been taught over the years. We cannot give according to traditions. We have to give biblically to be blessed by God. So it cannot be rooted in the history of mankind. Correctly understood, giving has to be rooted in the commands of God and our desire to please God and thank Him. First of all, He commands it. Second of all, He's pleased when we give. Thirdly, we are blessed when we give. And fourth, others are blessed when we give. And that's what I want to talk about here in all this. We also have to keep in the back of our minds as we start, as a starting point, a focal point in all of this that we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks, and I'll continue to bring this up because this is so important. We have to start at Psalm 24. The King James Version states it like this: "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." The New American Standard Bible quotes it this way: "The earth is the Lord and the Lord's and all that it contains, the world and those who dwell in it." And the New Living Translation states it this way: The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to Him. In this way, David reminds us before we even consider talking about tithing or giving or offerings, David reminds us that we have to remember everything that exists belongs to God. Everything that exists belongs to God. So we're going to start with the Old Testament. First time tithing is mentioned, all the way back in Genesis chapter 14. If you've ever read about this, you remember that Abram and Lot had split up the land, and some of the kings from the surrounding areas came and captured Lot and all the people and all their goods, carried them off to the north. So Abram got some men together. He went up to the north, as far north as Dan, there to the north, and he routed those people. He brought back Lot and all the possessions together with the women and the other people. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, came out. That was Jerusalem, because they were city-states at that point. Melchizedek came out to meet Abram, and he blessed Abram. Abram gave him a tenth of everything, of all the spoils of the war. He gave Melchizedek a tenth. Giving a tenth like that was a practice in those Semitic cultures. From the people that descended from Shem. Remember Noah's sons? The people that descended from Shem were the Semites, the Semitic people, the nomadic people. It was one of their practices to show thanksgiving to others, to give them a tenth of their blessings. So here's where it all started. Here is the first place the Bible mentions about a tenth, a tithe. And here, in the Hebrew language, the word tenth or tithe is me'aser. And it means a tenth. It means a tenth part of something. Okay? The next place we find it is in Genesis chapter 28. If we remember, Jacob, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, was going back to Haran to find a wife from his own people. We remember on his way back, he stayed at this certain place and he had a dream. And he saw the stairway, Jacob's ladder, with angels ascending and descending from the throne of God. And when he woke up, he realized how awesome this place is. This is an awesome place. This is the gate of heaven itself. So he built an altar there. And he made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey that I'm taking, if God will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and the stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So he makes a vow to God that he's going to, as a sign of thanksgiving for providing food, shelter, and safety, he's going to tithe back to God. Thirdly, in Leviticus chapter 27, as we jump ahead, we read about the offerings that were given and the tithes. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If a man redeems any of his tithe, he must add a fifth of the value to it. That's 20%. The entire tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord. He must not pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. If he does make a substitution, both the animal and its substitute become holy and cannot be redeemed. These are the commands of the Lord gave Moses on Mount Sinai for the Israelites. So, in other words, they were to tithe everything that came from the land, the grain, the fruit that came from the trees, and also the entire herd and flock. And what would happen, the sheep and everything in the flock would pass under the shepherd's rod. He'd have a dye maybe of red or something dipped on it, and every tenth sheep, he'd just lower it and make a mark on their back, and they'd know that particular one was to be offered to the Lord and be the Lord's. Next we find in Deuteronomy chapter 12 about tithing, where Moses speaks to the people before going into the promised land concerning the place where they were to bring their tithes and offerings. You are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your families shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you've put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Now what this meant was, and you heard me read about it in Deuteronomy a little bit ago, the Lord told his people that he would choose a place to dwell among them in the promised land. That was the temple. That became the temple. In other words, the people were to bring their tithes and offerings and their sacrifices to the temple. And I want you to understand, tithe, sacrifices, and offerings were all different. There were offerings for atonement, offerings for thanksgiving, grain offerings for a bountiful harvest. They were separate from the tithes. Okay? But they were to bring them to the temple that was to be built, or the tent of meeting, actually, at the time. Two tithes were required, one annually, for the maintenance of the Levites. If we remember in Numbers 18, the Levites, from the tribe of the Levites came the priests. They had no inheritance. They were separate from the people, so somehow they needed to be supplied, have their needs supplied. So from the tithes, the priests and the Levites were given a tithe of the tithes to support them, to feed them. But the tithes were a tenth of the bounty of the earth, and from the herds and the flocks, and they were to be brought into the temple area. Next, in Deuteronomy chapter 14 is our reading today. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Oh, and let me back up a little bit on this, because back in Leviticus chapter 27, here's where it first talks about money, silver. In other words, if they did not tithe the animals, they could give money, but they had to give 20% more along with the value of that animal or that good or the crops. In other words, they could keep the animals or the crops, but they had to give silver in its place plus 20% of its value. All right? So then when we come to our reading today, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain and new wine and oil and firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of God at the place he'll choose as a dwelling for his name. That was the temple. They were to come, offer their tithes, fellowship, and eat together and praise the Lord. If the place is too distant, you've been blessed by the Lord your God, you can't carry your tithes because it's too far away, exchange your tithe for silver, take the silver with you and go to that place the Lord your God will choose, the temple. Use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, fermented drink. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God. And don't neglect the Levites, for they have no allotment or inheritance. Okay? So in other words, if the tithes, if what they had, the grain, the animals, were too much for them to take, they could sell them, and they could take the silver, the money, and go to Jerusalem, to the temple area, and buy these animals to offer as a tithe. You see, this is what a lot of what was going on in Jesus' day, in the temple courts, the buying and selling of the animals. In some cases, the Pharisees and those that were in charge of selling started taking advantage of the people, though, sadly. That's years down the road. So they were to tithe the tenth of these things. And at the end of every 3 years, they were to bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in the towns, so that the Levites and the aliens and the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. So we see tithing was commanded by God. It was commanded for the benefit of the poor people, the widows, the orphans, the aliens, for the Levites to supply their needs. But sadly, over time, the people had become disobedient, and especially in their reluctance to give their tithes. In Haggai chapter 1, shortly after their return from captivity, we remember because of their disobedience, God allowed the Babylonians to conquer them. Shortly after their return, the people were living in nice houses, but the temple was still in ruins. The Lord said through the prophet Haggai, "Give thought to your ways, people. Think about what you're doing," is what the Lord was saying. Think about what you're doing. You're living in beautiful houses, and the temple's in ruins. When Nehemiah returned from captivity and the people rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, they renewed their covenant with God and they assumed their responsibilities to obedience to God's laws and commands. As Nehemiah tells us, "We will bring to the storerooms of the house of our God, to the priests, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, of the fruit of the trees, of our new wine and oil, and we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites. For it's the Levites who collect the tithes in the towns where we work." You see, they were recommitted to doing what the Lord commanded them to do. 100 years after the people had returned from captivity, they had backslidden, they were lax in worship, and God was dissatisfied with them. The problem was they were robbing God. In Malachi chapter 3, we read about this. The Lord says, "Ever since the days of your ancestors, you scorned my laws and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you," says the Lord Almighty. And the people ask, he says, "You ask, how can we return when we've never gone away?" And the Lord says, "Should people cheat God? You have cheated me." Yet, says the Lord, "You've cheated me of the tithes and the offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation's been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do," says the Lord Almighty, "if you bring all the tithes in," says the Lord Almighty, "I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it," says the Lord. "Let me prove it to you. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not shrivel before they are ripe," says the Lord Almighty. "Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight." But you see, the problems then were the same problems that we have today in our world. Worry. Pride. Selfishness, doubt, power struggles, unwillingness to give in. You see, that's what giving is really all about. Not how much, not when, but giving in to all of these worries. "Oh, I'm never going to have enough. I won't have enough to pay my bills. I won't have enough to eat. I won't have enough for my retirement. I won't have enough to pass on to my children and my grandchildren." Or maybe pride. "Well, that's my money. I worked hard for that money. I deserve what I have." Or maybe selfishness. "Why should I give that to the church? They're just going to give it to those people who don't deserve it anyhow. They're just going to waste it away." Or maybe doubting, "Well, gee, I don't know whether I better give today or not, or this week at all. Things don't look good." Or maybe it's a power struggle, and you know that's a spiritual issue, which giving always is. We think that's our money. We think that what we have is ours. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to the Lord. How can we ever think that anything on this earth is ours? Because in a split second, like the man that was going to build bigger barns, God said in an instant, "In fact, tonight it's going to all be taken from you." So we learn two things from the Old Testament about giving, especially about tithing. You see, even though it says a tenth of your grain, of your flocks, of your herd, of the fruit of the trees, and that we can give money in place of those things, we learn that God commands it, so it's important. So how do people avoid it? They don't come to church. It's like the ghost under the bed or the monster under the bed. If I don't see them, then they don't exist. You see? And people adopt that mindset. If I don't go to church, I don't have to give. And I'm good to go. God commands it, so it's important. Secondly, we are to bring our tithes into God's house and nowhere else. I have a lot of people will say to me, well, I give, but I give to this organization and that organization. I give to this person on TV. The other day I got a call and I gave them so much. That's not biblical giving for God's people. We are the funnel. The church is the funnel where people bring their tithes and their offerings into the church. Whether it be money, food, clothing, anything. And the church takes and provides for those in need. That's what was going on in the Old Testament. The tithes were to be brought in, the priests and the Levites were to be provided for first and foremost, and then the widows and the orphans and the aliens and those in need. We read about it in Nehemiah, about the storehouse in the temple, and there were those men that were in charge of taking care of all the things that had been brought in. So, I encourage you, if you're going to give, give here. Give here first and foremost. If there's any second mile giving you want to give, that's okay. In fact, that's great. Thirdly, it's important to give regularly. People say, oh, I give when I go to church. How often do you go to the church? Well, I'm a CEO Christian, you know, Christmas and Easter only. Twice a year they give. How much do you give? Well, I give. You see, it's important to give regularly. God was showing them. And fourthly, we curse ourselves when we don't give back to God. In Malachi, God tells them, you put a curse on yourself because you're robbing me. The earth is mine and everything that's in it. Like my dog Gracie, all I'm asking for is just 10%. Granted, don't let me tell you how much to give. But God's saying, just a little bit. You get to keep the other 90%. And it's not even ours to keep. We curse ourselves when we don't give back to God, and a tithe is a great guide to follow when we give. I had a professor at Moody Bible Institute told me once as we were writing papers about these kind of things, and I explained to him that I'm kind of from the old school that I tithe. And he encouraged me to try something to grow spiritually. He said, I want to encourage you, don't give 10%. Either give 9 or 8 or 11 or 12 and let the Holy Spirit guide you. And the Holy Spirit will guide us if we trust. If we trust as to what we should give. From there, there's no limit to the blessings we receive when we give faithfully and obedient to God. There is no limit. God will open the floodgates of heaven. I have lived this out and experienced it, and I can tell you personally, this is truth. There's no limit to the blessings we'll receive when we faithfully and obediently give back to God, not expecting something in return, because that's not giving. We give and say, here, God, it's yours anyway. And we walk away saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing me to experience this for a time being, but it isn't really mine, and over there so-and-so, and they need it more than I do. And we walk away knowing that God will provide every step of the way down the road. And in thanksgiving to God, we give our offerings for all that He has provided for us. That was the key here in all this. In thanksgiving to God. That was why Abram gave 10% to Melchizedek. In thanksgiving and praise for the blessing and to God for the victory. When God's people were and are obedient, God opens the floodgates of blessing. It may not be in a bigger bank account, but I promise you, He will bless you when you give regularly, obediently, listening to the Holy Spirit. I've sat in church services, maybe you've had this happen too, and the plate's been passed around, so you pull open your wallet, and there's maybe a couple 20s and a 10, or maybe a couple 20s and two 1s. The plate comes to you, what do? You pull out the two 1s, and I've sat there, and God said, no, I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. And I pulled it all out and put it in, and walked away with an empty wallet, trusting in God. I'm not going to go on to tell you the rest of the story, but that wallet was even more overflowing soon after that, because God knew I needed soon after that to pay my own bills and to provide for my own family. We are not banks, and neither is the church. We are vessels. We are God's people, little vessels walking around that God pours into us so that we can pour out into others. We just simply take it and pass it on, and take it and pass it on, because we're not going to be able to take it with us to heaven. It has absolutely no value. What God gives us in life has absolutely no value in the next life. So why are we hoarding? Why are we keeping? Why are we unwilling to give in when it comes time to give? And you know, a lot of people, I know I'm going a little long here, but I just want to, this is something I'm really passionate about. A lot of people will say to me about a Spirit-filled church. The United Methodist Church is not a Spirit-filled church anymore. And I say, what do you mean? Well, of course, you know, there's the old argument, they don't speak in tongues, they don't do this, they don't do that. And I say, oh, but when the collection plate is passed, or when I express a need in the community, the wallets come open and the money comes out of the woodwork. Now, is that a coincidence? That is the Holy Spirit of God working in the lives and the hearts of people that are committed to be obedient to God. That's an excellent time for the Holy Spirit to work. And I encourage you, when the plate's passed or when there's a need, to just stop for a second before you go to your wallet and just say, God, how much? And allow God to move you. And as a last reminder, a Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him. Not only does God own everything, He controls everything. We're going to get into some of the parables in the New Testament. Those that were given much, some squandered it, some just simply did nothing with it. God owns everything and He controls everything. And giving is a great way to show Him our thanks for allowing us to enjoy and have a part of what's His. Think about that. Almighty, divine, eternal God owns everything and controls everything. Who are we that we should be allowed to enjoy His toys, His food, His protection, and life itself? God is good. And God always provides. And God provides faithfully to those who obediently give in thanksgiving to Almighty God. So I encourage you to just be receptive to God when it comes time to give. I'll never tell anybody how much to give. That's between them and God. But I can tell you how much God will give you. He'll give you everything. Everything. 100%. Let's pray. Dear God, it's just encouraging for us.